This tape is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442, for the Canadian office and offices overseas. Listen at the end of the tape, please. This is Refuting Sunday Keeping number 7, and this is going to be a long series because we're going to cover an awful lot concerning it, because Sunday keeping is so deeply embedded in what is called Christian thought today. And as a matter of fact, anyone who keeps the Sabbath is looked upon as a cult, or is looked upon as having deficient or weak faith. And even the Jews view it in such a way that Christians who keep the Sabbath are actually an oxymoron. In other words, the Jews claim it for themselves alone. And yet we've seen in a series on the Holy Sabbath that we've done, and if you don't have that series, be sure and write for it, that God created the Sabbath. Christ said it was created for mankind. It is not the prerogative of the Jews to say it's exclusively theirs. That they are saying that they are God, when God has said that he gave it for all of mankind. And what we're going to see in all of this, and what we'll learn as we go along, is this. When men get into religion and leave the way of God and leave the scriptures, or take the scriptures and use them improperly, then they are setting themselves in the seat of God, and they are taking prerogatives to them which only God has. And so therefore, they're coming right back to the same original sin as Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, that they are deciding what is right, they are deciding what is wrong, they are judging God. And we're going to see today, in this one that we are doing, Refuting Sunday Keeping number 7, that the true colors of Protestantism comes out. The true colors of their hatred toward God's laws comes out. Their true twisting of the scriptures really comes out, and we'll take it step by step as we go through, because this is very important for you to understand and follow through and to realize exactly what is being done. So let's again, I'll begin reading from page 25 of this book, Sunday Facts, Sabbath Fiction, by Russell K. Cardo, and what we are going to see, that this man is what you would call someone who believes in lawlessness. Now, we'll define lawlessness a little clearer so we understand it. Now, if you don't have this audio series that we did on the mystery of lawlessness, we have three tapes on that. Write for it. And if you do not have the other series that we've done, which goes through the book of Galatians on circumcision wars, be sure and write for that. Now let's begin. This is their number 4 reason, and it's entitled, Jesus Canceled the Sabbath. And a lot of people believe it. And as a matter of fact, in the book, Egyptian Judaism and Early Christianity, many of the Jews took the same thought of God canceling the Sabbath as these men have done when they look at John the 5th chapter. Now let me read it. The words used in John 5:18 to describe exactly what Jesus did are extremely significant. First of all, you have to understand what he did do and what he did not do. Now let me read it here as he has it. And therefore the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father works hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was his Father, making him equal with God. Now the phrase, not only had he broken the Sabbath, this is the phrase that they are looking at. So he says the expression, he, Jesus, had broken the Sabbath, actually declares that Jesus had done nothing less than to cancel the Sabbath commandments. I want you to think about that. To cancel the Sabbath commandment. In other words, he abolished the Sabbath. That's what they are saying. Now let's go along and we'll read this through, and then we will go back and we will examine these statements again, and we will look at the scriptures properly, and we will understand exactly what Jesus did. You just can't take that one verse out of the middle of the context of the whole chapter and not understand what was going on. Now, continuing, numerous Greek scholars have stated this to be true. For instance, M.R. Vincent translates, had broken literally, was loosing in the imperfect tense. That's correct. Comes from the verb luo in the Greek, which means to loose. Not broke the Sabbath in any particular case. Now, that is not necessarily a correct statement, because it would be proper to say that Jesus broke the Sabbath in relationship to the code of Jewish laws, which we have already previously covered. In other words, if there was anything broken indeed, it was that Jesus transgressed the traditions of the elders, because the traditions of the elders are Judaism and the laws that the Jews have made, which are not binding upon anyone who believes in the Bible. Well, let's continue on here. But was annulling the law and the duty of Sabbath observance. Now, that's quite a statement. That is really profound. You need to understand that. This is exactly what John meant. The word translated was loosing has profound legal significance in the meaning and context dealing with laws and judicial decisions. It is the same word Jesus used in Matthew 16:19. Whatsoever you loose on the earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Whatsoever, and it says this is used to show legal divorce in the New Testament church. Now, what we're going to understand is you take a bit, you take a piece, and you put them together, but you're not rightly putting together and you're not rightly dividing the Word of God. Because, see, a loosed marriage is based upon law that the marriage was violated, and Jesus said, saving for the cause of fornication, and Paul was inspired to write, if the non-believer leave, then the believer is not bound. Only those two cases. So it is used in the sense of loosing when there is transgression. Not abrogating in the sense that you're doing away with the marriage law, nor are you doing away with the two exceptions that Jesus gave for loosing a marriage. And then they quote the verse here, are you loose from a wife? 1 Corinthians 7:27. And the full verse reads, are you loose from a wife? Seek not a wife because of the present distress. Again, one sentence out of a whole chapter twists and turns the meaning of the scriptures. Then he quotes 2 Peter 3:11-12, where it says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved. And the word, the verb there comes from the base root verb of luo. It was even translated to destroy. The Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now destroy in the sense of annulling. Annulling so that when it's all annulled, they will be as if they never have been. And Vincent said it meant in Greek to annul laws and duty of Sabbath observance. But notice who he's quoting that says that. He's quoting Vincent. He's not quoting the scripture, because we're going to see some scriptures which completely refute this. Continuing now, noted Greek authority, V.E. Vine, translates it, to loosen, especially by way of deliverance, and all of these things you're going to see, to loosen then from sin, be delivered from sin. It says here, continuing, sometimes has the meaning of breaking or destructively, of breaking commandments, not infringing, not only infringing them, but loosing the force of them, rendering them not binding. Now that can be a true statement when applied to the laws of men. But God is not going to throw away his commandments. His word stands true and sure forever. Now next, Bullinger defines it, to loose, loosen, unbind, unfasten, Artin Gingrich translated, loose, untie, set free, release, to set free from bondage, to break up, destroy, bring to an end, abolish, do away with. Of commandments, laws, statements, it means to repeal, annul, abolish the Sabbath. Now what they're all doing in here is reading in what they want. Thus we see, Tardo says, that John 5:18, Jesus is accused not merely of breaking the Sabbath, but of doing away with it entirely. While it's possible to cite many such scholarly renditions, it would only be redundant. The point is clearly made. Jesus annulled, abolished, and did away with the Sabbath forever. It is no longer binding on any New Testament believer. In fact, the whole of the law of Moses has been rendered inoperative. The New Testament is clear for all who have eyes to hear. The whole of the law of Moses has been rendered inoperative by the death of the Lord Jesus. The law in its entirety no longer has any immediate or forensic authority or jurisdiction over anyone, and this is evident in three ways. We will go into those three ways a little later. Let's stop right here, and let's begin with some very basic scriptures. Okay? Let's go to Psalm 111 first. Psalm 111. Now, you need to understand something very important, and always remember it. The one who was the Lord God of the Old Testament was the one who divested himself of his divinity and became the Lord Jesus Christ. So anything that it talks about here concerning God's laws, concerning God's commandments, then are binding not only Old Testament and New Testament. Now let's pick it up here, Psalm 111 and verse 7. The works of his hand are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. Now let's compare the statement. Bible says that all his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever. They are done in truth and uprightness. Compared to this, here's what he wrote. Jesus annulled, abolished, did away with the Sabbath forever. Now, who's telling a lie? The man? Or God? We know the scriptures tell us that it's impossible for God to lie. So this man who wrote this book is a liar. Now he may be lying in ignorance or in blind deception, and nevertheless he's still lying. Let's continue on. Verse 9. He sent redemption unto his people, and he's commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. That's why no man who professes to be a minister of any kind should take the name Reverend or the title Father nor should he be called master, or in the case of the Eastern Oriental religions, gurus, because that means master. Christ has forbidden all of it. Only God's name is sanctified. Only God's name is holy. Now, verse 10, Psalm 111. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endures forever. God says his commandments are going to endure forever. A man who hates the Sabbath says it's been done away. Now, let's find out the truth concerning what Jesus said. Let's go to Matthew, the fifth chapter. We'll get to John 5 in a little bit, but we need to have this in our minds when we come to John, the fifth chapter, so we understand exactly what it's saying. Now, let's come to Matthew 5. Matthew 5 and verse 17. Now, either this is true, and Christ spoke the truth, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. Understand that, John 14, 6. Or this is a lie. And if this is a lie, then the scriptures cannot be true, and whatever you believe then is in vain, because you believe a lie. Verse 17, Jesus said, think not, which means don't even let it enter into your mind. Don't even let this thought proceed in your head, let alone write it and print it as he has here. Think not that I am come to destroy the law, luo. Oh, he wouldn't quote that there with destroy, would he? No, because then he would lose his case. So selective picking and choosing of scriptures so you can tippy-toe your way through the false Protestant doctrine and Catholic doctrine shows the lying errors of their ways. He said, think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And fulfill does not mean to destroy. Fulfill does not mean to do away. Fulfill means, in the sense of Jesus and the prophets, everything concerning his first coming was fulfilled. But that didn't do away with it. That now becomes evidence and proof of his coming. The reason why he came. The fact that God's word is true. And the fact that these things were prophesied shows the veracity and truth and inspiration of the Word of God, which you can depend upon it. And the very things back there in the book of Moses, which prophesied about Jesus Christ, have been fulfilled. But was that scripture done away? Absolutely not. No way. Hold your place here. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 18. I mean, this is really something. We are dealing with lawlessness of the highest and most clever degree that men have come up with to keep their own carnal ways and to keep Sunday. They won't repent from it. And I tell you what, it's about time some of these Protestant ministers start repenting of their lies and their cheating and using God's word in the way that they do to say things and represent to God, represent to people things that God has never done. It says there in the book of Isaiah that you made me to serve with your sin, said God. That's exactly what they're doing. Now notice, Deuteronomy 18. And let's pick it up here in verse 15. The Lord your God will raise up unto you a prophet. Now, in the King James Version, it's capital P. Now, if you want a tape explaining all about that, you write in for the tape, that prophet. And it will go through the whole thing in great detail, showing that Christ was that prophet. And he fulfilled it, but these scriptures are still living proof. once it's fulfilled does not mean it's done away. It now becomes evidence of the truth and power of God. It now becomes evidence that the prophecies of God being fulfilled, spoken thousands of years before, show the power of the living God to carry his word through all generations. Now, let's continue. From the midst of you, of your brethren, like unto me, and him you shall hearken. That means you shall listen to him. And if you don't listen to him, you're in trouble. Now, according to all that you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire anymore, that I die not. And that's exactly what carnal nature is. They cannot stand to hear the word of God. They cannot stand to have the commandments of God. So the children of Israel said, oh, Moses, you go speak with God, and we will hear you. But the fact is, even though God spoke to Moses first, did not change the reality that what was spoken was the word of God, as we saw last time concerning the law of Moses. Now let's continue here. The Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. And so then that's why Christ came. And he really said this, what he's doing with this. Since you won't listen to me in my glorified form, I'm going to come to you in the flesh. Since you want to hear someone who's flesh and blood. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He gave up all his glory and divinity as God and came to this earth as a human being, born of the Virgin Mary, had flesh and blood just like we have. Now notice, because that is a fact, what God is going to hold responsible. Now notice, verse 18, I will raise up a prophet from among their brethren like unto you, and I will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. So you're under that judgment. Will you hear the words of Christ? Will you hear the inspiration of the New Testament? Will you listen to Hebrews 4 and verse 9, which says, therefore there remains Sabbath keeping for the people of God, meaning Jews and Gentiles, a direct command for keeping the Sabbath? That's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit from Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul. Will you hear those words? If you won't hear those words, God is going to require it of you. He is going to judge you. Every time you justify yourself and say, well, God knows my heart. He does. Is your heart repentant? Are you obedient? Or are you carnal and making excuses? That, well, I'm so good, God knows my heart. So if I keep Sunday, that's just fine with God. No, it's not. Notice. Verse 20, and the prophet, now Russell Tardo ought to read this, which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, and all the commands are right here in the Bible. Notice what's going to happen. Or that shall speak in the name of other gods. Even that prophet shall die. Why? Because what he's doing is sin. And the wages of sin is death. Now let's come back here to Matthew, the fifth chapter. These are the words of Christ. We just read it. That God is going to hold you responsible. God is going to hold every human being on earth responsible, especially if you have received the Word of God in your house. Now, if you have the Bible in your house, but you haven't read it, that's not God's fault. However you got it there, God made sure you had it. And so it's about time, as some have said, you better pick it up and blow the dust off so that you can understand the Word of God. Now back here in Matthew 5 and verse 17. Think not, don't even let it enter into your mind, that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now, what are jots and tittles? Jots and tittles are part of the Hebrew alphabet. What does this tell us? This tells us very clearly it's referring to the Old Testament. So there can be no blanket abrogation of those laws by a decree of man. Now notice what Jesus said. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but heaven and earth has not passed away. We're still on the earth, and the heaven is still above us. And yea, Christ is returning from the heavens. And he's going to bring the power and glory of God and the kingdom of God. And they are going to keep the Sabbath and the holy days all the way through the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. You need to understand that. We are dealing with profound and deep issues. We are dealing with the truth of God versus the lies of men and Satan the devil. We are dealing with the purity of the gospel of Christ versus the corruption of it by those who are Gnostic, and bringing in their own ideas and own false interpretations. Now let's continue on. Verse 19. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, where? Where commandment, where? Jot and tittle in the Old Testament. What do you consider the least commandment? Apparently, Russell Tardo considers the Sabbath one of the least commandments, doesn't he? Now, you think about that. Now, before you say in your mind, boy, he's sure going after them, listen. If you think what I'm saying is tough, you want to go before Christ and explain it to him? Now, you better listen to the words of the Bible. You better listen to the Scriptures. Because that's going to judge you. Not any man. Protestant doctrine is not going to judge you. Catholic doctrine is not going to judge you. Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu doctrine is not going to judge you. The laws and commandments of God and Christ are going to judge you. Jesus said, all judgment was given to him. Here's part of the judgment. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and teach men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Which means that you won't even exist. Because no sinner is going to enter into the kingdom of God. All sinners are going to be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Now notice the second half of this verse. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now then, let's understand what would be necessary to have in the New Testament if there were a change in the Sabbath from Sabbath to Sunday. Let's understand what it would take. We find it here, right here, in chapter 5. Let's continue on, verse 20. For I say to you that except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, theirs was all letter of the law with Judaism, which made void the laws and commandments of God. So your righteousness has to be based upon the scriptures of God, the word of God, with the spirit of God, and that's how it will exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. You shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You want eternal life? You're not going to get it your way. You're only going to get it God's way. And it has to come through Christ. Now, verse 21. You've heard it said by them of old time, you shall not kill. Whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, you fool, shall be in danger of Gehenna fire. Now, those are pretty strong words, aren't they? So if you believe in the sweet little Lord Jesus who has long hair and goes around like this, you've got the wrong Jesus. You don't understand the Bible at all. And if you want to understand it, you better get your nose into it and read it and understand it. Now, let's come over here to verse 27. You have heard it said by them of old time, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now let's understand something. Notice. Here's what Tardo writes. In fact, the whole law of Moses has been rendered inoperative. Where do you find you shall not commit adultery? Where do you find you shall not kill? Where do you find you shall not steal? Are those not the laws of God? Are those not the Ten Commandments? No question about it. So if the Sabbath had been changed from the seventh day to the first day, you would have to have a clear, defined statement by Jesus Christ, which you cannot find, but you would have to find it in the New Testament, first person by Jesus Christ, because he is the one who gave the Sabbath commandment. Yeah, he's the one who created the Sabbath. And that statement would have to read, you've heard it said in old time, you shall remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, but I say unto you, you shall remember the first day of the week to keep it holy. No such command exists in the Bible anywhere. Not in the New Testament. You can search in vain. You will never find it. Now, what men did later in twisting and turning the Word of God so they can justify Sunday keeping, now that's another whole story. We'll get to that as we come in this series. Now let's understand what's happening here. Let's come back to James, the fifth chapter, and let's realize what's occurring. One of the greatest sins is occurring with this kind of thinking and this kind of judgment concerning God's law. James, the fifth chapter, or fourth chapter rather, not James 5, James 4. Okay. Verse 12, there is one lawgiver. I'll repeat that again. There is one lawgiver. No man, no church, no council, regardless of how religious they may be, how high their office in the world may be accepted, can change the laws of God. hold your place here and come to James, the first chapter, the second chapter, rather. Let's just prove a point. Verse 10. James 2 and verse 10. Whosoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend in one point, is guilty of all. Now you think about that. The reason the Sabbath isn't mentioned here is because he wrote this to Sabbath-keeping people. There was not the Sunday controversy at the time that James wrote. So notice, he focuses in on these commandments. For he that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. So this ties exactly in with what we covered in Matthew, the fifth chapter, with what Jesus said, right? Yes. Now, if you commit no adultery, yet if you kill, you become a transgressor of the law. Now, let's come back and see the greatest transgression of the law. Come back here to verse 11. Now, let's come back to James 4 and start with verse 11. Speak you not evil one of another, brethren. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't point out wrong in doctrine or evil in doctrine. He that speaks evil of his brother, and of course a brother is one who has been baptized and is in the church with you. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law. Now, that's exactly what is happening with these statements. Is this not speaking evil of the law? No question about it. And if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Now, since there is one lawgiver, who are you judging? You're judging God. And if you say, well, that Sabbath commandment was just for the Jews. We Gentiles don't have to keep it today. And yet we saw last time how that the Gentiles were in the synagogues keeping the Sabbath, didn't we? Yes. You judge the law, you judge God. When you say God did not mean this, you are judging God. Did God ever speak a lie? Did God ever do anything in vain? Did he? No. But this man thinks so. And this is his Sunday-keeping philosophy, where he makes God the villain, where he makes the law evil. And he's judging the law, and he's certainly not a doer of it, and he's judging God because he's accusing Christ of abolishing the Sabbath, when Christ said in his own words that he did not come to abolish or destroy the law or the prophets, but to fulfill. And concerning his personal life on earth in the flesh, everything was fulfilled. But that didn't fulfill the entirety of the scriptures, because there's the whole prophecy of the church. There's the whole New Testament church. There are all the prophecies concerning his second coming. None of those have been fulfilled in the sense as it was with his first coming. Those are all yet to be fulfilled. So God's word is living and true and will carry its way. And it's going to go the way God has said. Now let's understand something concerning lawlessness. Now we have covered this before, but I want to cover it again. And I want to make sure that we fully grasp what is being said and what is being done and how Christ looks at it. Let's come back here to Matthew, the seventh chapter. And it seems as though lately, because there's so much going around in the way of false doctrine, in the way of teaching contrary to the commandments of God, yet all done in the name of God, that we have to come here to Matthew, the seventh chapter. And let's begin right here in verse 13. begin right here, because this is important to understand and grasp. Enter you in at the strait gate. That means it's difficult. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. What is the ultimate destruction? The lake of fire. That's the ultimate destruction. And many, which means the majority, and many there be which go in thereat. Do you think that all of these churches with all of their billions of members, counting the Catholics and Orthodox and Protestant, that they are on the straight and the narrow? Oh, they're on the Broadway. And it's going to get even more broad. And they're going to accept all kinds of things in the name of ecumenism, which are nothing but pagan heathen lies. And they will be responsible for taking Christ in the image of other people and pulling him down to being a good man. Christ was the very God in the flesh, the Son of God the Father, not an ordinary man, not just a prophet, a Savior, a King, a Redeemer. That's why he gives these warnings, because people go out, men go out, and they want to set up their religion, and they want to be holy, and they want to be sanctimonious, and they want to have people, and they want to have power, and they want to have money and numbers and buildings and land and control. But that's all of this world. That's not of God. That's the broad way. Now notice, because straight is a gate and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. Have you found it? Are you looking for it? It's here in the Bible. But you've got to rightly divide the Word of God, and you've got to believe it, and you've got to follow it. No question about it. Now notice, beware of false prophets. If you want an interesting study, get out your concordance and look up false prophets. How many times Jesus said, beware of false prophets. Let no man deceive you. Let no one steal your crown. False prophets, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing. They try and appear Christian. They name themselves Christian. They call themselves Christian. But Christian means follower of Christ. Are they following Christ? No. They're following their own way. They're following their own ideas. They are making their own traditions. They are using their own interpretations. And they are believing satanic lies and have no truth in them.